and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, we're studying in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been looking at the Word of God, and we've been looking at how important it is to the saved person, to help the saved person to stay clean, to get rid of the sin that's in the life that creeps in, and to help the Christian to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 6, we've been looking in those verses there, and we're in verse 17. We're finishing that verse up. But what Paul's giving us here is a way for us to have victory as saved people in this life. And Paul the Apostle likened the Christian walk in this world. He likened that to a warfare. We're going through this world. This world is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. We have many enemies as saved people. And there's one who has saved us. And there's one who one day we're going to see. And we're going to be able to thank him personally for saving our souls. Now, as we think of Paul the Apostle, I can't help but go back and read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 where he talks about being a soldier, about being what God wants him to be, and I believe he's speaking to us as well through the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4, 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to Timothy here. He says that Christ who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The quick are those people who are saved, those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, these two things are going to happen separately now. He's going to judge those of us who are saved at the judgment seat of Christ, not to see if we're saved, but because we are saved, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in our bodies, whether good or bad. Now, once again, we're not going to be punished. What it means there is for the good, for the bad, that means things we could have done that we didn't do for the Lord while we were here. We're not going to receive a reward for those things. But the things we do in serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will receive rewards. We will receive crowns. And I believe those crowns will be cast at the Lord's feet as he is on the throne. And that's going to be a testimony to him. For God the Father to see us casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's a way of thanking him for doing so much for us and giving us eternal life. Now notice, the quick, that's the people who are saved, and the dead, that's the people who are not saved. 2 Timothy 4, 2 says, and Paul is telling Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And folks, we're seeing that in our world today, how that people have not been in the Word. They have not studied the Word. And I'm speaking to Christians, about Christians, that they've not been studying. They do not know the Word of God, so therefore they're led astray. They're not listening to God, but they're listening to a person who's not preaching the actual Word of God. They're falling prey. And 2 Timothy 4:3 again says, for the time will come, and we're here right now, the time is here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's people who go into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and they hear the Word of God, and they say, I don't like this. I'm not going to stay here because I don't like what I'm hearing. Well, if they don't like it, they need to take it up with God if they're hearing from the Word of God, because it's His Word, not the person who's standing there proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, but it's God's Word. who they're listening to, and if they have to find fault, then they must find fault with God. But there's coming a time, it says, that they're not going to endure sound doctrine. That means the teaching of the Word of God. They're going to have teachers. They are not going to want to hear the things of God, but they're wanting to hear the things that tickle the ear, that makes them feel good, instead of listening to what God says for them to be a success in this life as Christians. 2 Timothy 4:4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." People would rather hear stories today than to hear the Word of God. But watch there, thou in all things, Paul says, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That means to tell people about Jesus, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul goes on to say this, verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul the apostle knew he was getting ready to lay down his life. He was getting ready to die. But notice what he says here. Now, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and the verses that we've looked at recently talk about the soldier. But notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Nowhere in God's Word does it tell the Christian that this life is going to be a bed of roses. Nowhere does it say that this life is going to be easy for the Christian. Well, the life becomes easier when we cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for us. But nowhere does God say that you're going to have it made as such as a Christian in this life. We're still waiting for our Savior to come back for us, and then we're going to have it made. But Paul the Apostle said, "I have fought a good fight." In other words, just like a soldier, he was fighting a fight. And he says, "I have finished my course. I've done what I can do. I've fought. I have kept the faith." And 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth," Paul says, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Say, do you want to get at least one crown? Do you want to get just, you don't know how to get a crown? Well, this tells you how to get one of the crowns that I was talking about earlier. It's to love the Lord's appearing. In other words, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm waiting for you. I want to see you, Lord. I want to be with you. Please come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to read that verse again, 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Do you love the Lord's appearing today? Are you looking for Him? If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to be praying, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to see You. I'm waiting for You, Lord." Pray and be anxious to see our Lord and our Savior when He comes back in the clouds and says, "Come up hither." I believe that takes place as well, not coming up hither in the clouds, but it takes place as well for the Christian. When the eyes close in death, I believe that we go immediately to be with the Lord. "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." I've been around saved people who have gone on, and for the most part, they die with a smile on their face. The breath of life leaves because they know that they're getting ready to be in the presence of the One who died for them and has made it possible for them to open their eyes and be in glory. And I pray that you've done that. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I pray you, Christian, that you're fighting a good fight, that you're staying in the Word, that you're telling other people about Jesus Christ. And as we talked before about the Word of God, it's going to make you clean. It's going to lead and guide you. You're going to gain more knowledge. And we also need to know this, that we should know enough Scripture to meet the many forms of temptation that comes our way. As we read Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Does that mean you're never going to sin once you start studying and you start memorizing the Word of God? Does that mean you're never going to sin again? No, there's no such thing in this life as sinless perfection. As I said earlier, this is not a bed of roses, a time of bed and roses that we live in right now. There's still this old flesh that we battle against. That's a battle in itself, but we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts that we stay away from the sin that comes at us on every side. And remember, Paul the Apostle said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And we need to fight the good fight. And that not only means standing up for the Lord to this lost and dying world, that means to stand against the devil when he comes along and tempts us to do something that we should not be doing as a saved person. And once again, we should not depend on our own reason or rely on our own wisdom to get the job done while we're here. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some people say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, your conscience is going to let you down. Your conscience is going to lead you in the wrong direction. The heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says they're desperately wicked above all things, deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? This old human heart is going to get us in trouble many times until the Lord comes back for us. Saved people are going to have a difficult time in this life, especially if they do not get in the Word of God and study the book. Once again, a single text of Scripture is better to meet the temptation than all the philosophy the philosophy which the world contains. The tempter can reason and reason believably, but he cannot resist a direct and positive command of Almighty God. When we think back of Eve, had Eve held fast simply to the Word of God and obeyed his command without attempting to reason about it, she would have been far better off. Had Adam held fast simply to the Word of God and obeyed his command without attempting to bypass or ignore God's Word, then the world as we know it today would certainly, it would not be in the condition it is in today. Job chapter 9, verse 24 says, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where? And who is he? 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If Adam had only listened to God, and I say to you today, if we would only listen to God. God has much for us today as saved people. He has more than we could ever imagine. And we can learn more and more of what he has for us as we get into his word. Now, we may see the importance of training up the young in the accurate study of the Bible. And there is nothing which will furnish a better security to the young people, to them in the future life, when temptation comes along, than to have an appropriate scripture text when they need it. Temptation often attacks us so suddenly that it delays our reasoning. But a text of scripture will be sufficient to drive the tempter from us. Remember, Jesus said, it is written. He was speaking about his word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.